This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. What makes a good metaphor? Well, if you ask writer and retired psychologist Marty Grothy, he might respond with a quote from the poet Robert Frost, who said, "An idea is a feat of association, and the height of it is a good metaphor." Just one quote Marty Grothy has come across over the years. He's collected thousands of metaphorical quotations and put many of them in a new book called Metaphors Be With You. Marty Grothy reads tonight at Quail Ridge Books in Raleigh and Thursday at the Country Bookshop in Southern Pines. But first, he is back with us on The State of Things. Welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank. It's great to be here.
What is a metaphor?
Well, that's a good question, because a lot of people will tell you that a metaphor is a figure of speech.
There you go.
In fact, if you look at the American Heritage Dictionary definition, it says a figure of speech in which a word or phrase that ordinarily designates one thing is used to designate another, as in a sea of trouble.
There you go.
Or all the world's a stage. Now, this is kind of interesting when you get right down to it, because I think that a case can be made that a metaphor is more of an act of thought than it is a figure of speech. When Shakespeare said all the world's a stage, he was making a classic metaphorical connection. The root sense of the word metaphor is to carry something across from one domain to another. So he was saying, in order to kind of understand this amorphous concept of a world better, all the world's a stage. That's the metaphor. But what he did, and this is now where the thinking process of metaphor meets the writing of composition, he said, and this is from memory, all the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts. So to go back to your question, is that an act of thought or is that an act of composition? Well, it's both.
And what he's trying to do, and what you're trying to get across in this book too, is to say, look, language is kind of a weird, I mean, think about the power of this thing and how strange it is. It is unique to humans. Other animals communicate one way or another. But to take an abstract thought that's in your head and suddenly give me the picture. Pretty strange and powerful stuff to transmit a thought, an abstract thought. And that's why we would use all the world's a stage. It turns out it's not all reality. Everybody's acting things out. We're all kind of faking it one way or another, playing a part.
Absolutely. Yeah. Metaphor is a capacity of the human brain. I mean, that's really kind of where it starts. When you take a sea of troubles. Okay, well, what is he talking about there? This is from the to be or not to be speech where he talks about taking arm against a sea of troubles. Well, see, what he's not talking about a pond of troubles. You know, he's talking about an ocean of trouble. So, see, this is what makes metaphor so powerful, is that in just two or three words, he conveys a mental image that allows us to kind of see what it is we're talking about. He didn't say lots of trouble.
Right.
He said a sea of trouble. So that's why I love metaphor.
And you kind of visualize the roiling and the sort of the turbulence
of
it all. Absolutely. So let's take a specific metaphor and we can argue whether or not these are specifically metaphors, but they are figures of speech that allow us to see things in a new way. And they also have an impact on how we think. For instance, time is money.
Yes.
This really changes the way we look at money because this and time.
Yes.
There was a time 500, 600, 700, 800 years ago when that would be nonsense. Nobody would know what you were talking about.
Yeah.
But sort of with the dawn of with the political economies, that makes sense.
Yeah. Ben Franklin really introduced that concept, you know, in one of his books. And very quickly after he introduced it, it kind of burrowed into our national consciousness. And the essential metaphor is time is money. Well, when you look at this notion of carrying something across from one domain to another, now what that means is everything we know about money can be applied to this abstract concept called time. Well, we can waste money, so we can waste time. Even little things like expressions we use every day, will you spend a little time with me, is based on the metaphor, time is money.
So this brings me to the question, kind of which came first, the word or the thought. Well, you've got a quote in here from Samuel Johnson. Language is the dress of thought.
Ah, yes.
Clear suggestion here that the thought preceded the word, yeah. And that somehow to get it out in public, to make it suitable for public appearance, yeah. We dress it up in words.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, to what extent do words and metaphors shape the way we think? Do we think differently if we have a different syntax than in another language, if we have an iconographic language?
That's a complex question. Let me go to the language is the dress of thought first. When he says language is, the metaphor is not always that obvious. We've got to think about it a little bit. Language is the dress of thought. What's the underlying metaphor there? Well, the underlying metaphor is language is an attire, mm-hmm. a form of clothing, a piece of an apparel. So what he's saying there, and get your book back. I want you to read this to your listeners here in just a second.
Will
Go
you?
To that page and then turn the previous page. But when he's saying language is the dress of thought, what he's saying is that we can put apparel onto our thinking processes, right. And we can do it in a fine way or a not so fine way. Read the George Crane quote on that page. He picked up on that metaphor years later, and it is:
language is the apparel in which your thoughts parade before the public. Never clothe them in vulgar or shoddy attire.
Yeah. That's one of the things I love most about metaphor is that when one person comes up with the original metaphor and then lays it out, well, generations later, people are picking up on the metaphor. I mean, you know, I've always loved all the world's a stage as a quote, but I think it was Oscar Wilde that said, all the world's a stage, but the play is badly cast. I mean, we can tweak these and piggyback on them, and metaphor have incredible powers of regeneration in new forms as people begin to think about them.
And they can inspire. I think to what extent is the way the phrase is wrought, its meter, its cadence, all of the things that make it quotable, memorable, so that it can pass challenges.
The most inspiring passages of all time are metaphorical. A man's reach should exceed his grasp, or what's a heaven for? Robert Browning, Daniel Burnham, make no little plans. They have no magic to stir men's blood. I mean, when I ask people, what are the quotations that have most inspired you in your lifetime? I've never heard one that wasn't metaphorical. I mean, powerful stuff.
Well, you say that life was transformed by a quote. Your life was transformed by a quote from Henry David Thoreau's Walden. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, I was in college. I was going through a classic identity crisis that people have sometimes when they're about 20, when I realized that I was just not on the right path. I was a big man on campus, and I looked pretty hip to all the peers around me, but inside I was empty and cold, and I knew I was not going anywhere I really wanted to go. I saw a counselor at the college counseling center. He said, "Have you ever read Thoreau?" And I said, "No." I heard about Thoreau. He said, "Well," and he said, "This is very interesting." He said, "You know, I think Thoreau was thinking about somebody like you when he wrote that book." Well, that's a good way to introduce a topic. So I checked out Walden from the library, and I began reading it on January 1st of that year, my senior year. And I'm reading through the book, and it's a tough read in some ways, but I within the first couple pages, I see I wanted to live life deep and suck out all the marrow of life. And I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. You know, well, life doesn't have marrow, but, you know, bones do. And I can kind of relate to that. And then I get to the end of the book, and near the end of the book, I come across this passage. If a man fails to keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music he hears, however measured or far away. That was one of those true epiphany moments for me, because that captured my life up to that point. I was just beginning to march to a different drummer when I quit my fraternity and I resigned from all of my various jobs and positions I had at the college campus there. My friends all treated me as persona non grata. I was rejecting them, so therefore they had to reject me. But for him to remind me, well, maybe you're just marching to the beat of a different drummer, it was a religious experience for me.
And I think, to your point also, these things carry on, have a life of their own when they're reconstructed, because we always talk about people marching to the beat of a different drummer, which is not precisely his quote, but it becomes something that's sort of in our consciousness, right?
Absolutely. And that's where ideas and phrases become embedded, you know, deep in our psyches. And they have a power to move people.
Because they have an image, and it's a concrete image. If you think about the impossibility of trying to convey an abstract thought, you absolutely have to anchor it in something concrete, something we've all experienced. That's my challenge. I've experienced something unique to me. It is abstract.
Yeah.
I have to find something that we have in common, that chair, that marrow, and now we can talk.
Yeah. Right? George Lakoff, one of the premier experts in the field of metaphor, says the essence of metaphor is understanding and experiencing one thing in terms of another. And see, that takes us beyond mere figures of speech now.
Right. So and this Thoreau experience, I guess, was the moment when you started writing down quotes, right?
Well, when I was reading Thoreau for that very first time, I occasionally, when I came across a passage I liked, I would write it down on one of those 3x5 index cards. And by the time I finished the book, I probably had 20 or 25 of these sort of scattered around my little dark and dingy apartment. And that's more than 50 years ago now, when I became truly a quotation collector. As years passed, I went on and got my PhD in psychology at Columbia, moved to Boston, became a therapist. And as a therapist, I began to recall how my college counselor, Dr. Sprinkle, had introduced Thoreau to me. And then I discovered every now and then, if I was working with a client, if I said something like, you know, Louis L'Amour in his book, Lonely on the Mountain, said something that I believe applies to your situation. And if I was saying that to somebody who had hit bottom and who had lost all sense of hope, their ears just perked right up. And I would say, those words, if I recall them correctly, are, there will come a time when you will believe everything is finished. That will be the beginning.
We are talking about metaphors today on The State of Things. My guest is Dr. Marty Grothy. His latest book is Metaphors Be With You. How about so it can be inspiring, right? People who are in the depths, they don't know how to get out of their mess, and you give them this quote, and suddenly they think anew. It's a repentance. It's a new way of thinking.
Yeah.
What about the other part of that, these kind of quotes that are dragging me down? I mean, have you ever uncovered a kind of metaphor that's been the animating force in someone's life? And you say, get rid of that. Throw that metaphor away.
Well, nothing comes to mind, I'll be honest, when you say that. But I want to go back to the therapy experience, because there's one quote that I offered probably 25 or 30 times in my therapy practice with people who came from families that suffered with alcoholism. And every time I would offer this quote, people would say, hold it, let me write that down. Mm. And this comes from a woman you've never heard of. Her name is Joyce Robetta Burdett. She wrote a book called The Cracker Factory in 1977. It was made into a little-known movie starring Natalie Wood, made for TV in 1979. But the quote is this. She says, alcoholism is not a spectator sport. Eventually, the whole family gets to play. Now, that's a perfect example, going back to your very original question. That is an act of thought expressed in a beautiful, powerful, poignant way, I think.
And it allows you to see your situation in a new way, because you hadn't really thought about it like that.
And what are we talking about there? In therapy, the whole essence is getting a client to reframe.
Yeah.
And that's what metaphors help us do.
So you've got in here, you've got, what, I don't know how many quotes in here. Lots and
2,500.
2,500 quotes in this book alone. But then you've got a database online that you can access, right?
Well, what I've done here is I've tried to identify the 10 best things ever said on 250 topics. So that's 2,500 quotations. Now, I'm in this book not playing the role of a quotation anthologist, I'm playing the role of a quotation curator. I truly am trying to find what I think are the 10 best things ever said on these topics of deep and enduring human interest. But what I'm doing in this book as well, and I think your listeners will find this fascinating, is every single topic is linked by a QR code to my online database, which has got Dark Dr. Marty's Dictionary of Metaphorical Quotations, a DMDMQ. If you just want to punch those letters in, you'll get to it. In the database, I provide all of the attribution information and hundreds of other quotations on the same topic that I provide in the book. So I've never seen a book ever done before where there's this kind of seamless integration between a book and an online website. So I'm hoping it kind of catches on.
A book that you should not judge by its cover, because it's got more and more than that. Thank you. Marty, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Frank.
Marty Grothy is a retired psychologist. His new book is Metaphors Be With You, an A to Z Dictionary of History's Greatest Metaphorical Quotations. He's going to be at Quail Ridge Books tonight at 7. That's in Raleigh. Thursday, going to be at the Country Bookshop in Southern Pines. And, of course, we have the details at our website, stateofthings.org. You can be on a future show. By the way, if you've got a favorite and you would like to be on our show and talk about a favorite moment for you in this year gone by, you can send us an email at sot@wnc.org or tweet us at #SOTMoments, and we'll call you, put you on the show, and ask you to be part of our year-end review. The State of Things is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Charlie Sheldon Orman, Katie Barron, and Laura Pelliser. Robin Copley's our technical director, Brent Wolf, WNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.